This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thanks for staying tuned. I'm Philip C with Keith Kam. It's now 7:19 in the morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Jason Low of Emerald Research on the impact of the OPR hike towards the lower income households. But in the meantime, let's talk about the impact of rising interest rates on Malaysian banks. From Singapore to Seoul, central banks across the Asia Pacific have been driven to tighten monetary policy, no thanks to rampant inflation and the risk of currency sell-offs. The same is also happening in Malaysia. After maintaining the overnight policy rate at 1.75% since July 2020, Bank Negara Malaysia finally made its first tightening move in May 2022 to 2%. And more recently, we witnessed a 25 basis point hike in July.
Yeah, so analysts believe that going forward, Bank Negara will continue to normalize its policy rate and eventually raise it to 3% by next year. And to explain the rationale behind the rate hikes, in our interview with the Assistant Governor, Fraziali Ismail, a few weeks ago, he did explain that it is dangerous to keep rates low as the economy is on a growth and recovery path. He also used an analogy that the patient is now out of the ICU. We need to adjust the dosage and medical treatment to not cause harm. So how will these rate hikes impact Malaysian banks, and what are these pockets of risks?
For some answers, we speak to Willy Tanoto, Director in Fitch Ratings for Asia Pacific Financial Institutions team. A very good morning to you, Willy. How would you assess Bank Negara Malaysia's monetary policy so far in 2022, which has seen a total of 50 bips hike? How many more rate hikes would Fitch be expecting this year?
Hi, good morning. Malaysia's overnight policy rate does not get those exciting 75 basis point jumps that seem to be very fashionable these days. In fact, the OPR has been remarkably stable over the last 20 years or so, hovering in a narrow 175 basis point range. So many markets have moved 175 basis points in just the 6 months alone. Therefore, the 50 basis points that we have seen so far is already relatively forceful action in the Malaysian context, especially when you consider that inflation in Malaysia is relatively manageable, averaging at just 2.5% in the first half. We think BNM is likely to raise the OPR by another 25 basis points this year. And the last time that it raised rates by 75 basis points like that in close succession was in 2010. So this is a relatively rare occurrence.
Willy, the ringgit has fallen to a new record low against the Sing dollar. I think it's about 323, 324. It's also depreciated against the greenback. Does Bank Negara need to worry about the ringgit's depreciation? I mean, it's something that everybody feels.
Yeah, it feels very close to consumers because it's something that you can see directly. But most central banks with free floating exchange rates do not target a specific level for the currency, but rather they just aim to avoid disruptive volatility. Having said that, of course, the exchange rate does influence monetary conditions in the economy, and it has an impact on inflation. So it is certainly one of the many dimensions that BNM will consider, even though it isn't by itself the primary objective.
Willy, just very quickly as well, I mean, the ringgit has obviously depreciated, but interest rates are going up. So, you know, by that logic, the ringgit should look more valuable, but it does not seem to be the case. What's going on here?
Yeah, so exchange rates are pushed by many factors, right? But one of the things that we can consider, if you look, looking at the US dollar to ringgit exchange rate, the OPR and the floor of the Fed funds rate are now the same at 2.25%. And this differential will probably turn negative later this year. So look, there is that difference where if I'm a depositor, I'm deciding between keeping my deposits in US dollars or ringgit, increasingly dollar just looks more attractive.
Yeah.
Right. So that could be a factor.
So I guess the question is, we expect more outflows then?
You know, interestingly, in 2013, the bond market swung around from a positive 5 billion inflow to a negative 1 billion outflow in just 2 months when the Fed was announcing that they're going to taper their easing program. This year, in just the 5 months, in 5 months after the Fed already went on aggressive tightening, the net change in foreign capital position is less than $500 million. In Bursa Malaysia, we saw net inflows in the stock market. The Malaysia's current account continues to be in surplus. So all in all, we're not really witnessing a capital exodus so far.
Now, base lending rates are exceptionally sensitive to any rise in the OPR. There's also a lag of impact for the term deposit. Will we see a temporary improvement in net interest margins?
I think you put it quite rightly. Because it takes time for a term deposit to mature, it may take about 6 months on average before term deposits reflect the new OPR levels. Whereas on the asset side, banks have 80% of their loans on variable rate loans. So they get adjusted at the very next interest pricing date, which is typically within weeks of any BNM action. Therefore, we do think that net interest margins will improve in the second half and give banks' revenues a nice tailwind into early next year.
But I guess the bigger concern is the general slowdown in the economy, right? Whether this will translate to lower trading and fee income as capital markets then slow in tandem, right?
Trading revenues are more correlated to volatility than GDP growth. So banks around the world reported some of their best trading results in 2020 when the economy was tanking. But during that time, there was a lot of trading activity because people were trying to close or hedge their positions, or because there was massive monetary stimulus that created lots of trading opportunities. Having said that, investment banking fees have dropped in the first half because of greater reluctance for large corporates to do deals. And banks also have to book losses on some of the bonds that they themselves are holding because yields were rising. But these declines are more than offset by the improved net interest margin because loans are still the mainstay of Malaysian banks' businesses.
So is there a risk of asset quality deterioration? What are your expectations for loan impairments?
Naturally, the higher net, higher interest rate translates to higher, larger debt service burden. So a small number of borrowers at the margin of affordability could potentially be tipped over into default. We expect impaired loan ratios to rise modestly across most banks by the end of the year. But most of this is not because of a higher OPR or higher interest rates, but because the loan relief measures and for the final group of borrowers benefiting from Pemulih. I think one thing we need to remember is the context. This economy is facing a number of headwinds, but it is still growing at about 6% this year. And the buoyant economy will help to contain a lot of the impairment. We are looking at the system impaired loan ratio rising by less than 50 basis points year on year in 2022.
So I think you're saying that the fundamentals are still in place, right, to keep it relatively resilient in the midterm per se. But, you know, I guess as we enter the 25th anniversary of the Asian financial crisis, which actually this was just last month, you know, what are the things that were, what lessons were taken, right, from that crisis that have now resulted in a more robust banking system?
Not all of us are old enough to remember the Asian financial crisis, I suppose.
I am, actually.
Oh, gosh. I'll pretend that I'm not. We are in a very different situation today, I think, than in 97, both in terms of the economy, the exchange rate framework, the health of the banking system. I think short of a far more dire scenario that no one is realistically planning for right now, where you have the economy going into a deep recession and joblessness spikes, we think the Malaysian banks are well positioned to navigate the current challenges. The regulatory framework is very different from 97, and the exposures that banks have are very different. And our outlook on all of the banks that we rate is currently stable in Malaysia.
Thank you very much, Willie. That was Willie Tanoto, Director in Fitch Ratings for Asia Pacific for the Financial Institutions team. I think painting a relatively positive outlook that the banks remain quite resilient in these challenging times, simply on the basis that, look, we see this margin rising, the interest margins will still hold the banks well, even though we see capital markets volume deteriorate a bit.
It certainly is a lot stronger. Our banking financial system certainly is a lot stronger than 25 years ago because, sadly, I do remember, because I was actually in the industry at the time, and I do remember we had, Malaysia had something like, I might be exaggerating, but it's definitely more than 15 banks. And the what the Asian financial crisis taught us was that these banks all had to be consolidated to become bigger ones. And so we ended up with 5 or 6 today.
I think building the capital adequacy, I think then the bigger question in my mind is, you know, loan impairments going forward. I think Willie also was kind of forecasting that there will be some deterioration or increase in that, but not so much as we see all these stimulus and handouts by the government slowly ebb away going forward.
Right.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Up next, we'll be speaking to Chong Jia Jian of NUS on how China has been responding to Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. That's happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.